The healthcare detective, Frank Lally, has written a book for Simon & Schuster about how to get affordable healthcare called Your Best Healthcare Now. It's available online, in-store, wherever fine books are sold. Mr. Lally is also the health correspondent for Parade and the former editor of Money and George magazines. He joins us when he can, and that means right now. Hi, Frank. How are you?
Well, I got to tell you the truth. I think like half of America, I think my head is about to explode. Last week was insane. There was so much chaos and scandal down in Washington, D.C. People didn't know where to start. But in that mess, we shouldn't have missed this one. At the height of the worst flu epidemic in a decade, the nation's top public health protector, the head of the Centers for Disease Control, the CDC, got booted for investing in, drum roll please, a global tobacco maker. Yes, a tobacco maker. And guess what? The woman, whose name is Brenda Fitzgerald, guess what she campaigned on? Of course, tobacco control, because it is our number one health threat. So let's put hypocrisy aside.
Which we have everywhere. I'm not minimizing it. The more alarming thing about just the general hypocrisy is that, you know, people tend to get so focused on whatever the distraction of the moment is that they're not looking for these glaring inconsistencies. Glaring.
Yeah, and that's exactly right. I mean, look, if you think that you're cracking down on tobacco, you wouldn't be investing in tobacco stocks. I mean, that's just logical, right?
I was speaking to someone. She lives in New York. She's a pretty, she's a pretty well set person, but, and she is on Medicare. And she has for years been paying privately, you know, just because of her own issues, she's been paying privately for her annual mammogram. And she decided this year that she would take advantage of being on Medicare. Do you know how long it took her to get her appointment?
2 months.
5 months.
5 months. That's not good.
At a well-respected institution, blah, blah, blah. But the point is, I don't know when it became. I said to her, and I said, well, gee, I must be getting really old because obviously, and I'm also used to the animal world, but... If I rang up for a mammogram, I'd expect it within 2 weeks. And if it were serious, I'd expect it within an hour. That's just what I expect.
Your friend should have called me or the station, and I could have made that work better. But look, let's get rid of Brenda here, you know, and this hypocrisy and this nonsense and the deregulation and to the point where you think you can make a buck in tobacco if you're running the CDC. So I'd say this, bye-bye, Brenda, and don't let the tobacco barn door hit you in your ash.
That's very
goodbye
good.
Goodbye to Brenda. Very good. You like that?
All right, done with All Brenda, right. yeah. Don't let the barn
That's
door
Brenda.
Hit you in your ash.
That's Brenda. Bye-bye, Brenda. Okay, so look, sorry for the rant on Brenda, but my God.
It's appropriate. I'm crying out loud.
Yeah, I think it's ridiculous. But here's what I really want to talk about today, and that's what to do when you get bad medical news, not administration news, bad medical news. And it's really when you're going to get it, not if. Because listen to this. I mean, half of us will be diagnosed with cancer in our lifetimes, actually a little bit more than half. 1 in 8 women will get breast cancer. 1 in 6 men will get prostate cancer. And to top it off, 40% of us will become diabetic. So, look, you or a loved one will surely get bad medical news. And let's face it, you're going to be scared. I mean, that's the first thing to understand. Everybody gets scared with a bad diagnosis. It's natural. It's okay. As long as you don't let it paralyze you. Now, my psychoanalyst friend, Louise Fay, who, by the way, has a beautiful home in Egremont, says that after the initial shock, you'll revert to your core. So if you're a fighter, you'll want to fight. But if you tend to put things off, and I think a lot of us tend to do that, you might delay. So here's rule one. Do not delay to go for the best health help that you can get. Do not delay to go for the best help you can get. Rule number two, don't panic. Whatever your diagnosis is, whatever it is, many others have it, and the doctors have medicine for you. So, Jill, I think our listeners know that, you know, this summer I came through a clinical trial for my blood cancer in complete remission, or remish, as I call it. I don't want to push my luck. But since then, I've gotten several phone calls from people who say, you know, they're newly diagnosed patients, they know a little bit about my story in a clinical trial, and they're asking where they can go right now for a clinical trial. And I say, whoa, slow down.
Because they're not aware, and this is a problem, obviously, is, you know, when you are pitched into a whole new world, you don't know all the pieces and you don't know all the steps. And I'm certain the first thing that you don't know is that you need to see somebody who is proficient in whatever it is that you are diagnosed with before you, plunge into a clinical trial that worked. That was a trial that worked for an individual who had been through all of the myriad steps.
You've got to go through the progressions. I mean, this wonderful novelist friend of mine, for example, who just got non-Hodgkin's lymphoma, she called. She was ready to sign up for a clinical trial. And I said, look, that's not the next thing you want to do. That's the last thing you want to do after all other proven treatments stop working for you. I mean, clinical trials, you and I know this, clinical trials are experiments. You're a lab mouse. Some mice do very well. Some actually die. So my friend and I, we first focused on her local doctor, who turns out to be terrific. So my friend is in really good hands. And that's rule number three. I mean, if you don't have one, get a primary care doctor that you trust. He or she is your building block and your path to the specialist and the surgeons that you may need down the road. Okay, next. I asked my friend to do a little homework. I mean, to find at least one expert in her specific cancer, hopefully within driving distance. So she obviously talked to her doctor. She talked to friends. Very importantly, she got on the internet. You can learn a lot. And she found a great guy at a major medical teaching institution right over the bridge. And that's rule four. Go in for a consultation with at least one expert who is conducting the trials you may need someday, not the trials that you're going to get in next week, the trials that might be there in your future. You want to be a patient of a doctor who's writing the research studies, not the guys reading them. Okay, so my pal now has the ideal health arrangement. She has a local doctor looking out after her day to day, and she's got a world-class expert monitoring her care. And here's the best part of this story, and one of the reasons I really wanted to tell it. The two doctors, they got together, they agreed on her specific chemo cocktail, and after a few treatments, my friend's cancer is gone. She's in complete remission, the same as me. Now, let's define what that really means. The doctor's best microscopes can no longer see our cancers. And that condition may remain for a very long time. My friend may remain cancer-free for the rest of her life. I certainly pray that she does. But if she gets more bad medical news years from now, she relapses into the care of a world-class doctor right across the bridge who figures to have the clinical trial she may finally need. So let's recap. Here's what to do when you get bad medical news. Rule one, don't delay getting solid medical help. Don't delay. Two, don't panic. The doctors have medicine for you. Three, get a primary care doctor you trust. You don't have one, start looking for one today. Four, go see a world-class expert on your disease. Become a patient of that world-class doctor for protection for the future. And here's rule five, Jill. If you don't, listeners, if you don't have my phone number, do the next best thing. Listen to me on Robinhood Radio and buy my book, Your Best Healthcare Now.
Yeah, follow his advice. How do I say it? I endorse that. No, really, because, no, it is like going to a brand new place without, and yes, things have changed, but typically the person who lives in that place has some experience about which restaurants are good and which ones are just promoting themselves, which this. So you do a little bit of what I always call pre-search.
Yes. Research is a good idea.
And
but in medicine, I think pre-search, but it has to be an educated pre-search.
Course.
And that's where I think this is a major fault with many health arrangements that families have. They actually don't have a solid primary care doctor that listens to them. You know, I mean, you want to have a discussion with, you want to be able to go into a doctor's office. The medical credentials are not in doubt, but is the doctor listening to you? I mean, there was a doctor, I finally fired the doctor, but the way he had his office, the way arranged, he was actually facing the computer with his back to me. So anytime he wanted to get any information from me, he would just sort of slightly turn in his chair and look over his shoulder. That's not the basis of good communication. You need a primary care doctor who's not only really up to date on all bits of health news, you also need a doctor who looks you in the eye, cares about you, takes the 10 or 15 minutes to ask specifically, how are you doing? How much stress do you have? What are the other things? But do you sleep well at night? What are your worries? We used to, when I lived out in California, we call that stuff holistic medicine. Now, and it was rare. Now it's increasingly being taught at the major teaching hospitals. They're taking these young people who want to be doctors and researchers and whatever cure cancer, and they're sitting them down and saying, okay, now here's a class that you really need, and this is how to listen to your patients.
And that's just absolutely amazing that things have become so advanced and yet so, let's call it retrograde, that isn't the first, back when doctoring was just beginning.
The speed of this world has forced it because, for these hospitals to continue to make money, they cut the amount of time that the doctor can spend with each patient. They load them up. I mean, some doctors are seeing 20 people a day. They just load them up.
I don't mean to interrupt, except we are going to run out of time. So if you aren't dealing with someone who is looking at you and using their eyeballs and their wisdom, then you need to find a different someone.
Yeah, and don't hesitate to do that. Health plans normally say you must have a primary care doctor, and that's very good, okay? But then take that seriously. Get the name of three doctors at least close by you, and then do something unusual. Interview them. You can do this. You call them up and say, look, I'm interested in becoming your patient, but I'd like to come in. I need 10, 15 minutes with the doctor. It's important. That communication is really important. And that, if nothing else, it forces a doctor who might otherwise be too busy in a sense for you to say, okay, this is a patient who really wants my attention. So go on and interview three of them. Pick one that you think you can have a positive relationship with. Check the credentials. In Connecticut, doctors have to fill out a physician profile. And that physician profile includes all the disciplinary actions that have been lodged against them. So you can check that out. You can check out that doctor's physician profile and that doctor's history. And then if you also like them personally, good, you're in good hands. And then when you get bad news, sure, your family is shocked and you don't know who to turn to and you're going to call your uncle Tommy, and you know, because he may know something about this, but you've got a doctor that you trust that you can go in and see and have a calm discussion about what your future looks like, the doctors, the kind of specialists you may need to see next. You're on solid medical ground, and it gives you the emotional support to make a plan. Okay, I've got this bad diagnosis, but now I have a plan, and I've got a partner who's my primary care doctor looking out for me. And then the rest falls into place, like it did for my novelist friend. The rest falls into place. You get a world-class doctor looking over the shoulder of your local doctors, and you're in good medical hands, and you're going to make intelligent decisions. So that's the way to approach it, Jill. And, I say this, unfortunately, we're all going to get this bad news. It's all going to shock us. And one of the first places you want to turn is to that primary care rock.
Thank you, Frank, the healthcare detective and the health correspondent for Parade. Send your questions or concerns about finding affordable healthcare to healthcaredetective@robinhoodradio.com. Frank will try to address as many of your questions as he can on future broadcasts. And of course, look for his book, Your Best Healthcare Now, available online and in stores.